UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on the V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Upset that I did not follow through with what I meant to do.
Which time? Yesterday
was Frank Sinatra's 104th birthday.
Oh, really?
And we should have had all the rejoin music for Sinatra. And then last night, preparing for the show, give you an idea of my priorities. Mike's putting together a top 10 list of basketball. I put together a top 10 list of Frank's best upbeat songs, swinging songs, holiday season. Because, you know, he could sing a torch song and rip your heart out of your chest. But I said, well, that's not conducive to what we're doing here today. So I had them all put together. I was going to give you all the websites so you could get them downloaded and we can play them today.
You do my job for me? Beautiful.
And then I didn't do it. Because there's a lot of them that a lot of people don't know that are just, one of them you love.
The coffee song.
Coffee song. Did you ever hear the Frank Sinatra?
No, I don't know that
right
one.
Down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions. Because they got to find those extra cups to fill.
The Balvano duo.
They got right there, the Balvano duo in Brazil. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, and then Nelson Riddle arranging it. Forget about it. Are you kidding me?
Nothing Nelson better. Riddle
nothing arranging. Better. Yeah, yeah, hasn't been better music than that in this country ever. Before or since.
Well, now, hold on now. But
no.
But I really like Frank Sinatra.
None better.
But the coffee. I've never heard that.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll use that as the rejoin.
Okay, we'll bring it back. Make Stand sure I got to make sure I find the right arrangement. He did it originally in the 40s with Alex Stordahl, not a good arrangement.
Who in the world is that?
It was his first arranger.
Oh, okay.
Then he worked with Billy May and Nelson Riddle.
The Shamwell guy?
The Nelson Riddle songs are fantastic. I'm telling you, just
Nelson Riddle was, he's dynamite.
A genius.
He was dynamite.
A genius. Yeah. So we'll play that. You'll be amused and amazed. It's a clever lyrics. They could percolate the oceans in Brazil. It's very funny.
A politician's daughter was accused of drinking water.
Moving right along to Mark Emmert.
Do we have this time? Is all
yes,
Mark Emmert. This
or
is for Chris Mack.
Mac
I can't
first?
Hear anything. I just hear
Chris Mack.
Chris Mack. So I don't
is
hear
he
my
talking
own bad
right
voice.
Now?
I don't hear what you guys are saying are right we, now.
Is he talking?
Is, what?
When are we going to
no,
Chris
Mack? Mack is not talking.
Okay.
I'm listening for him to come to the podium.
Okay.
I'm listening in my one good headset.
Okay.
I'm talking to you guys.
Very
so the
nice.
Cool thing is I can't hear the feedback of my own terrible singing voice.
No, it's very fine. Well, you're doing fine.
The Valvano duo.
You just got to sell it.
Valvano duo.
You just got to sell. As long as you sell it, people
Which
will respect
one's,
your karaoke.
You're
Do you know I sang karaoke? This is like...
Pops, you're Frank. I'm obviously Dino. What's Mike?
Sammy Davis.
Davis. Or is he Joey Bishop? No, actually, I'm Joey Bishop.
Joey.
He could be Dean. He's
definitely Dean.
Yeah. He's much more Dean than
Joey Bishop. Ooh.
Joey's sarcastic.
There's a name.
You could do. Son of a gun. Anyway, now we're doing obscure references. Did you know I sang karaoke? This is like, you ever have a dream where you say, I had the weirdest dream last night. I'm singing karaoke in Hawaii with Bruce Pearl. I actually did that.
Really?
It was at Milwaukee. Remember they still do them. They used to do bracket buster games on ESPN.
Sure. Yeah, they take a Saturday and
they would have teams that are on the bubble.
Yep.
He had a good team at Milwaukee. He was playing Hawaii. So they signed me to the game, which was a thrill for me. I'd never been to Hawaii. And so the night before, we went to this restaurant. We just had, I've known him since we coached against each other.
Right.
So it was great. So he had practice. He was done. And we went to this restaurant. The reason it's funny is because we're sitting at a table that's like in the middle of a floor. And we're, as you do, we finished and we're talking and talking and talking.
What did you do?
That's what you do. And I look and I said, Bruce, what the hell's going on? They have, as we're talking, they're too polite to ask us. They have taken all of the tables off the floor. We're the only table still on the floor. And so we called the waiter. We said, what are you doing? He said, well, we're waiting for you to get up because as soon as you do, we start karaoke. So we said, oh. So I said to Bruce, come on. How dare you? Let's do karaoke. He said, I'll do one with you if you do I pick. I said, all right, we're going to do Sinatra. He said, all right. And guess who he picked, of course? The Beach Boys.
Did he really?
So we did Summer Wind together, and we did California Girls, and got applause from the room. And the great thing was you didn't have to go up to the front of the room. They brought you a microphone at your table, so you didn't have to stand in front of everybody.
How did they show you the words?
Where was the choreography? The guy was up on a stage.
With the machine that shows you the words.
Yeah,
okay.
And then we would just busted it out, and we got applause, and the table behind us was really impressed with our...
Pearl's funny. I've always, when he coached Tennessee, because I have such great respect for Ray Mears,
yes,
and what he did back in the day, and I mean he was just terrific promoting that program in the league, and so we would always talk, and he really respected Coach Mears, so we kind of hit it off. We always talked when not just hello, and he'd stop and talk.
He's a weird guy. Because, he's obviously a great promoter, which I don't have a problem with. That's what you got to do in this business. And he dipped his toe over that line more than once where he got in trouble. And yet he's unbelievably respectful, like to a guy like Ray Mears, of the game itself, of the coaches that came before him. And I've always admired that. He always speaks so glowingly and the things you learn from them. And so that's how I'm wired because of my father and my brother. And I know you have much the same feeling.
Absolutely.
So I always appreciated that with him. He never came in like, I invented the game. He'd reach out. It was probably good business, but the way he reached out to Pat Summitt when he got to Tennessee, I thought that was very smart of him when he went to the game and he painted up. Remember?
Yeah, he painted it up. You talk about, and we're not going to name names here, but we know as former coaches or broadcasters, there are guys who sometimes are nicknamed Naismith.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know it all. And there's one guy on ESPN that every time I hear him, I go, Naismith. He's got all the answers to all the coaching problems. Yeah, and it just amazes me. And, I sit there sometimes and wonder why Calipari does something or why Bruce Pearl does something. But I don't have the answers because I don't know those players as intimately as they do every day in practice.
Exactly.
And so, but a couple guys, and you know them, and they're Naismith.
Well, I'm to be self-congratulatory, but up to your point, that's why I always said I think my job is not to stand up there and say, and there's a bunch of guys that do this, here's what I do here. Who gives a spit what you do here? I mean, there's ten different things you could do in this situation. Great that you would do that. That's nice. Tell me why you think he's doing what he's doing. That's what I'd like to know. So that's what I try and do, like you said. I may look at it and say, gee, why is he doing that here? Like Texas Tech does a thing when you push the ball to one side, they down the ball screen, okay? But then they take the big guy and they switch off even though they've downed it. I've not seen that
before. They showed big. They really got big out
there. But that's to your point. They want to push it to one side, and then they'll try and trap it. Now I understand why he's doing what he's doing. So I think that's what you do. Let's go to the podium, and here's Chris Mack.
I've seen a good response. I think losing a game is always tough in the moment. And I think the most important thing is to be able to learn from it. Why did we not capitalize on a 7-point lead? What went wrong? Why weren't we able to correct it? And we've tried to attack those things. And Certainly when you lose, I feel like you have your players' attention every bit and more. So hopefully we can continue to progress and use Tuesday night as a lesson learned like we did when we weren't our best against Ohio State. I think a little bit of both. I think getting our guys in the gym maybe a little bit more often than they would if we were in class, whether that's extra shots, whether that's individual development in certain areas for different guys. And we're always trying to sharpen what we place an emphasis on both ends of the floor in each and every practice. And then, you know, depending on, you know, where you think your team is in certain situations, zone offense, on defense, underneath out of bounds, half-court man sets, I think you have a little bit of time, especially when there's a little bit of a break, you know, after the Miami game, to sort of figure out, you know, where do we have to get a little bit more in the playbook.
Ron, we'll talk about the schedule before this three-game stretch. How do you look at this team now after the three-game stretch, just seeing how they fare even with the last game?
Well, we did not play very well against Texas Tech, and I think, as I said in the press conference afterwards, Texas Tech had a lot to do with that. I always want to give full credit to the other team. They have scholarships. They have a great coach. They have a identity. But I'd be lying if I thought we played very well. And so it's hard to have in your mind, you know, where you feel like this team is overall when you're sort of pointed to the last result and what led to that. But I know we have a good team. But we have a team that certainly has some things we have to get better at.
Hadn't changed your mind about the outlook overall of this team, your opinion, I guess.
No, I think teams, you know, teams are going to hit adversity throughout the year. You know, it's really the response that you have and the improvement and the growth that you make, you know, from those moments. And so that's yet to be determined. I believe that we have the right guys in the locker room that can, you know, learn from a loss and get better in certain areas. But, you know, that remains to be seen. But I do feel like, you know, we certainly have the talent, we have the experience, and we just have to get better on those shortcomings that you saw on Tuesday night.
Malik said there might have been a sense of entitlement with some of the guys coming into the game. Did you feel that at all?
I did not. Okay. And I sure hope that wasn't the case. You know, sometimes I think when a guy – 19, 20, 21-year-old gets in front of cameras and microphones, he may say some things, and maybe he feels that way. I don't know. But we certainly don't coach that way. We don't prepare any less. We prepare the same way each and every time. And I felt like our guys had a couple really good practices leading up to the Texas Tech game. Now, again, I give them full credit. You know, we should have responded better. You know, when you're up seven and you have three or four, three on two, two on ones, and you charge twice and take a tough shot and a two bounce pass three, you put the game in a different category than it could have been. It could have been up 14 points, and maybe a young team feels a little differently and maybe more like they did coming into the game with three losses in a row than what we made them feel. But we didn't do that, and it's our job to figure out why and move forward. So I'd like to think entitlement didn't have anything to do with it, but yeah, I don't know. I can only worry about what we can control on the floor and figure that out.
I know shot selection wasn't great as a whole.
It's terrible.
But, I mean, with Jordan, I think that sometimes he gets criticized when he takes too many shots. What have you seen from him this season compared to last season?
He's a much better player. You know, Jordan's an overall much better player. And, you know, he took some shots against Texas Tech that were bad, that were terrible. And, you know, I think he feels like, you know, he's a terrific player and he should feel that way. But Texas Tech's not your average defensive team. And when you shoot that quickly, and it wasn't just Jordan, some other guys on our team as well, you don't wear them down. And the opposite happened. They wore us down. And I don't mean physically as much as mentally. And we can't let that happen. More specifically, I can't let that happen. And Jordan understands that. You know, he's matured way beyond where he was a year ago. But, you know, it's Madison Square Garden. You know, all eyes are on you. Our team's playing well. And, you know, he's got a different rope than anybody else on the team. You know, he's a first team, second team, you know, type of player in the country, period. But, you know, one can't result in two and three and four. And that was a combination of all our faults. And, you know, that's not going to happen again.
Kind of sitting back waiting for him to take over?
I don't think so. I don't think we gave ourselves a chance, you know, to figure that out. You know, we shot the ball so dang quick that I don't think anybody on our team was waiting around. And that was the problem that we had on offense. And it gives you a funny feeling when you're on the defensive end and they're playing through 25 seconds on the shot clock. And we can't play that way. And hopefully, like I said, you know, you can talk about that, you can coach it, you can teach it in practice, but sometimes the best experiences on the court and in life are ones that you have to go through. Nobody wants to lose, but if we can take this as a real lesson learned, then I'll be really satisfied and pleased that that this happened to us.
How do you usually evaluate when you're talking about where that progression has taken place?
I mean, I see it every day in practice. I see the decisions that he makes now as compared to a year ago. I see his defensive effort, you know, now as compared to a year ago. You know, sometimes we'll play opponents from the previous year. Miami, Florida is a perfect example. Pittsburgh, another example where, you know, what I saw on film, not just from Jordan, but Stephen Enoch, Malik, looks vastly different this year in terms of a lot of things, both on both ends of the floor, on offense, on defense. And so, you know, it's pretty easy to see when you compare game film to what I see in practice now. And that's a good thing. Well, it needs to get better. You know, it's something that on the defensive end, I feel like our guys are doing a pretty good job. You know, spearheading our defense, communicating, getting back in transition. But you know, where we've struggled in the last three games specifically is turn the ball over, and also getting us in what we need to be running. If teams are going to extend their pressure, we can't play at 35, 40 feet from the basket. And it's not just on the point guard. You know, your receivers have to get open in what we call the attack area so that we can feed the post, so that we can drive the ball with meaning, so we can create shots for one another. So when a screening action is occurring, you're not 25 feet away with the basketball, not being able to deliver it. So it's more than just our point guards, but they quarterback our team, and I expect more out of them.
Speaking of point guards, when the guy has six turnovers, you almost human nature maybe put his head down. How's Darius reacted since that game?
We'll see. You know, we'll see. You know, I think three or four of those turnovers, because we weren't really turning the ball over until the last 4 or 5 minutes. And that's when the game went from one or two possession game to about 11, 12 point game. So a bad stretch with about 4 minutes to go. We went back-to-back-to-back turnovers with our point guard, and we can't have that. So just like you, I'm interested to see what our response is.
How do you see Steven and Malik kind of playing off each other when they're playing together? I mean, how do they kind of complement each other?
Well, they both need to attack the glass. I mean, if we're going to play that big at times, we need to be able to post the ball. We need to be able to, like, get the ball into the lane. We need to be able to be nasty on the offensive glass. Teams that you know, go against that, obviously their size around the rim is going to be something to contend with. But teams aren't just going to let Malik hang around the lane. You know, they're going to put him in ball screen situations as a four-man. At times he's going to be switching. He's going to have to keep the point guard in front of him. And I have all the confidence that he can do that. But we just have to be effective on both ends of the floor for that lineup to be, you know, one that we're going to go with a little bit more. But it was good to see against Texas Tech. I thought that lineup for a few minutes helped our team.
How do you measure, you mentioned the response, how do you measure that going against a team that obviously is in the same category as the previous three players? In other words, competition's not.
Well, we see competition every day in practice. And I remember the last time we played a team that you know, people weren't very excited about and talked about not being one of the better teams on our schedule. We were down four with about 14 minutes left in the game. So I take no solace in the fact that we, you know, have an opponent that, people on the outside may not be as excited about. We need to be better, and we will be better.
You considered using Sam in a different position than you have been already, or are you pretty happy with what he's doing?
You know, I think Sam, in order for him to extend his minutes, has to be better on the defensive end. I think that he brings a scoring punch and has a really good feel for the game. He can offensive rebound. He can defensive rebound. He has a good passing ability. So, yeah, like most freshmen, you know, I think their trajectory is straight through the roof. The more they get experience at this level, both in practice and on the floor.
You see any similarities between Fresh and how he's adapting to your system and maybe with CC last year?
He's done a great job. I think he can be better on the offensive end and take more command of his team, handle the ball a little bit better, and make a few more shots. But he's done everything that I could have asked and more on the defensive end. His teammates love him. He's a guy that we have the ultimate faith in. He did a great job, you know, these last several games defensively. And if he does that and he's, you know, where he's supposed to be and leads his team a little bit more, then I think he'll have an opportunity to keep extending his minutes and be even bigger factor for our team. Yeah, David needs to play a little bit more. It's hard to gain confidence when you play 4 or 5 minutes. We tried to get him out on the floor a little bit more against Texas Tech, and we'll do the same against Eastern Kentucky. And, you know, like I said with Sam, you know, freshman's trajectory is a little different than the average player, the average, you know, older guy. And David brings some things to the table, especially with his size and his ability to pass and play make, that we don't really necessarily have in other positions or in that position.
Anything else?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That was Chris Max Presser, brought to you by our friends at Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. Text ESPN to 502-212-3167 for a chance to win weekly Visa gift cards. More Fast Break Friday on the other side. I don't know why I'm bringing us back from break. Bobby B's leaving the studio. Anyway. More Fast Break Friday on the other side. Mike Pratt, Bob Valvano, Nick Valvano. Who is Flemmy, yes, because he's sick. This is ESPN Louisville. You're listening to ESPN 680-1057 here in the 502 and our dear friends, ESPN 1300 down in Lexington. Keep it locked here.
This is Wendy Canavan, Vice President of Genesis Diamonds. I wanted to personally invite you to take part in an amazing offer here at Genesis. This week, it's all about the ring. Now through Sunday the 15th, save an extra 25% off all engagement ring settings, wedding rings, anniversary rings, fashion rings, and color gemstone rings. This 25% savings is off the already everyday low price just in time for Christmas. If you are getting engaged, come in and let one of our non-commissioned experts give you a thorough education on how to buy a diamond. We will go past the standard 4Cs and show you why diamonds of the same stats can be way different in price. We promise to save you a lot of money in the process, and you'll get a free lifetime warranty at no additional cost. Don't let this incredible offer pass you by. Save 25% off on every ring in the store through December the 15th. Genesis Diamonds is proud to be the official jeweler of the Kentucky Wildcats and the Louisville Cardinals. Genesis Diamonds, Shelbyville Road Plaza.
Hey guys, it's Andy Sweeney. You know, Christmas is knocking on the door, and if you're still looking for the perfect gift for your wife or girlfriend that'll put a smile on her face, and I'm betting that you are, then treat her to the very best this year. The world's softest pajamas from Pajamagram, America's PJ experts for more than 15 years. My wife has a couple pairs, and trust me guys, she loves the way they feel. The softness, the warmth, the comfort, they're the total package, and you'll love the way they look. Plus, listen to this. Every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. That's icing on the cake. You don't have to do a thing. And they're backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee, and delivery by Christmas is guaranteed as well. Get her something special this year that she'll love. To get the world's softest pajamas, here's all you have to do. Go to PajamaGram.com. That's PajamaGram.com. Tell them Andy Sweeney sent you. Again, that's PajamaGram.com. Tell them I sent you. Tell them Andy Sweeney sent you for a great deal today.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.
My name is Cynthia Torp, owner of Solid Light. I've been part of the Commonwealth Bank and Trust family since 2009. My business banking relationship with CB&T started when other banks weren't eager to finance my home in Southern Indiana. They helped me do this crazy thing in buying and renovating a warehouse just south of Broadway. And in 10 years, CB&T hasn't said no to me yet. When it comes to my business, having CB&T as my partner is like having a banker in the family.
See more business banking stories at bankerinthefamily.com.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet? Continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life. This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Hey, Bobby V here to tell you about a terrific, terrific program at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. This is a program that absolutely works. I lost 23 pounds in just a little under 3 weeks. It's personalized for you. So check them out. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. There's two different locations in Southern Indiana and on Weber Avenue here in Louisville. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Look and feel better and more healthy starting tomorrow.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way. Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people. River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Fast Break Friday is brought to you by Universal Windows. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every window you buy, you get the next one free. Plus 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions. So they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to sell their quota. And the way things are, I guess they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice.
Now compare that awful arrangement with this one, which I'm going to play for you.
Here, I'll get...
This is how it should sound. Listen to the difference in this. Hit it, Frank. Nope, it's the wrong one again. Damn it! I'll find it right when I found it yesterday because I looked for it. That is an old 1940s arrangement that stinks. You want... This is the one. It's from Ring-a-Ding-Ding. That's the album it's from. Here it is. That's how it should sound. Come on, Frankie. Do your thing.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions. So they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got a lot of coffee in Brazil.
You can't get cherry soda,
'cause they've got to fill that quota. And the way things are, I'll bet they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice.
One more verse.
You'll see. No potato juice.
Who drinks potato juice?
Because the planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. The politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Thank you, Frankie. Happy birthday, dude.
Now,
compare that arrangement with that hokey bullcrap 1940s thing.
Now,
the first song was terrible.
I guess most of our listeners were unaware that we had karaoke here today at the studio.
In honor of the fabulous late great Jason Anderson show. He's not dead, but the show's gone. They used to do karaoke. When did they do it, Nick?
It was Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
It was Wednesdays with Biscuit.
He would do karaoke every Wednesday.
And Biscuit's on the mend.
Really? Yes. So it's not. Unfortunately, we're not breaking new ground here. I love that version.
Might have to bring that back.
That version of the song is
the summer wind you mentioned.
Spectacular.
Sinatra and the summer wind. That's very good. Yeah,
that's a great song.
And of course, everybody knows My Way, right?
Yeah, that's a terrible song.
Dad hates
one of the two worst songs he ever
called.
Strangers in the Night and My Way.
I like Strangers in the Night. Also, I had some friends that were Strangers in the Night.
Two awful songs.
How you doing?
to the lyrics that Paul Anka wrote it for him.
You walked over.
Now, Paul Anka, there's a name.
It's a terrible
song. That guy wrote all kinds of stuff.
That's a horrible song. I mean, listen to the lyrics. They're cringeworthy lyrics. But people love it because it typifies in their mind what Frank was about. No nonsense. I do it my way. I'll punch you in the face. And that's great, but it's a horrible song. I'm sorry. It just is. Compared to
just one man's opinion.
That's Life. Listen to That's Life. You want to hear a great Sinatra song.
I like that song too.
That song is spectacular.
Not a whole lot of stuff that he's done,
man.
Except for the coffee song that I didn't like.
You don't like the coffee
song? No, I can't handle it. Come on, man.
The coffee sounds great.
I love coffee.
Why are you doing this? Why are you torturing me?
Because it's Mike's allowed to like what he likes.
Thank you, Nikki.
Then he has not. He talks like this. He truly feels, and not the words of someone who kneels. What contrived lyrics are these? Who talks like this?
I think it's time to talk about Mark Emmert now.
Big finish here.
Here's my list.
Everybody.
College football. This, Mark Emmert. There's my list of
college football. Do you know that if Georgia would have gotten into the playoffs, okay, with two SEC teams, it would have been the largest payday that they've ever had in college football.
And that's the only way they keep scoring football.
That's right. But I was going there. That's where I was going. That is the only
thing they care
way.
About. Yep. All the other stuff is absolute bullshit.
But the money has increased since the last time they had two in the playoffs, okay? So it would be the largest payout.
Wow. Well,
you know.
And you're right. I mean, that's why I was going there. That's all they
because
care about.
Because it's the same reason why the bowl thing is so contrived, because they're so concerned that if they expand the playoffs, the bowls will become completely irrelevant, and all those people eating at that big trough of the bowl game payouts will not have any money anymore. That's the only reason. This argument, they couldn't figure out how to do it. They had to get the Dr. Pepper guy to come up with a bracket. I mean, they've been having football playoffs for 30 years at Division III.
Absolutely.
I'm fairly certain you can figure it out.
D2 has it.
Yeah, they do. So does 1AA. But, they all do. But see, this is the only NCAA sport that doesn't.
This is my theory on these protecting the bowls, like you said, and that's what they do. Look, there's so many IOUs out there. There's people that run these bowls who've done favors
Absolutely.
For people in college football. And I'm not pointing the finger or naming names. They got all those IOUs that over the years that could be called in or would be called in.
All those chips in.
And there's some financial piece in those IOUs also, Bob.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, it's just – I was wondering why we weren't getting texts. I was on the wrong dang page.
Okay. So they've been blowing up your singing?
No, our singing's fine.
All right, Mark Emmert. Mark Emmert, we got a little bit of time here, but Mark Emmert has decided that he's going to try to get the federal government involved in this image, likeness. You know, like the guy makes over $2 million a year, and he runs this company, for lack of better terminology.
It is a company.
Okay, and he can't put together
– Can't figure it out.
– a deal. Okay, can't – and they got lawyers up there to protect them. They've got all these great geniuses that run athletic departments around the country. You know, and they can't do it. They want to get the government involved. No. What in the hell is going on?
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem for me. This is a guy and an organization that has done everything in their power to keep Congress out of their business. Because Congress.
Tax exempt.
How they could be tax exempt is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
The amount of for-profit stuff they do. Now, all of a sudden, they're faced with this really awkward thing because they know that the public sentiment is in favor of it.
Exactly.
And they are going to have to dip into their own pockets to pay for it. So rather than answer it, they want to make Congress the bad guys. So, you know, they can go back afterwards and say, well, it wasn't our decision. It was Congress. You know, if I'm Congress, you know what I tell them? Go spit in your hat, pal.
If I was Congress, I'd say, look, here's the deal, Emmert. You either figure it out or we're taking your tax exempt status away from you, big boy.
I like that approach.
You know, you're making over $2 million a year running a tax exempt foundation, company, whatever you want to call it, you know, and you figure it out, big boy. Now, I will say, Bob, they could hire you and I as consultants, and we could figure it out given enough weeks. Okay, we could put something together. We'd have to tweak it and get
people. Exactly. I understand it won't be perfect right at the start.
Right. But, I mean.
Well, here's what.
It's just blows your mind.
I'll throw some ammo for you so you fire away. This is the point. He said, Emmert says, I've certainly never heard anybody, including in Congress, that wants sports run out of Washington, D.C. There's an interest in providing support because some of those issues can't be resolved really without congressional action. You can't have 26 or 30 different state laws. So, let me interrupt you right there. You don't need 26 or 30 state laws. You need one NCAA law. And then you tell people you want to be a member of our organization. This is how you do business. That's what they've done for years and years and years. But they won't do it here. That's why the state laws have come into being, because they won't address it.
And the bottom line to all that is they don't want to address it, and they don't want to take a stand that, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it. It's going to appeal to everybody. It's going to appeal to everybody who's got a law out there. And you know what the NCAA then expects to be done to them? Sued. And they do not want to be sued. They run from potential situations with lawsuits.
There's two law government people, and it's a bipartisan thing, before anybody wants to make this a political thing. Senator Chris Murphy is a Democrat from Connecticut, and he's working with Republican Mitt Romney. And I thought that this was a great line that Murphy said. Murphy said during a telephone interview 2 days ago, this whole thing is a house of cards that's going to come down one way or the other. College athletics, listen to this line, Mike. College athletics is trying to be a multi-billion dollar industry without compensating the people who are making the product. That's not going to stand in the long run from a moral perspective or a legal perspective. The college athletics industry created this problem by professionalizing itself over the course of years, one way or another. This is not sustainable because of public pressure. Fans aren't going to allow for the coaches and the schools and the companies to make billions of dollars while the students make almost nothing, or because the courts are going to step in. That's exactly how I feel about it.
Well, I feel that way except for one thing.
Okay.
The student athlete doesn't get almost nothing. They're pretty well taken care of now.
It's relative to what they're generating.
Well, now, that's true.
That's what I'm talking
about. But they have the cost of attendance. It could be a lot of money.
The scholarship's worth. We get all that.
Now, they're not poor. They're not going without food. They get fed whenever they want to get fed. That's a misnomer. Now, are they getting their share of what they generate? Absolutely not.
That's the point.
Okay, but I hate when people...
You don't like that phraseology.
Yeah, people say, yeah, this guy or this gal can't even eat, can't go to a movie. They got money, but the problem is... Another problem, I think, coaches, if you peel back the banana on coaches, how do you reconcile with your team that Joe Schmoke's not getting a dime because he doesn't, they don't want him to sign autographs, they don't want him to endorse something, and your star quarterback or your star spiker in women's volleyball is getting these opportunities. Not everybody's going to get these opportunities.
It's the way the world works. That's
exactly right. But everybody who is involved thinks they will. That's the bad publicity that's going to come out of it if they don't handle it right.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
You know, if they don't handle it right.
See, I think there's another. What's the term I don't really love, but it makes sense in a lot of cases? The optics of the situation. Here's what I'm reading.
Well, they don't handle it right.
I'm reading this. Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goes to Rutgers.
You know what the hang-up was? He's got an 8-year, $32 million contract. He's going to get $4 million a year for coaching one of the worst football programs in the country, and he turned it down once. And do you know why? He wanted to always have at his disposal a private plane for when he went to fly. So they reached a compromise.
I do, too. Can we get the station to get you and I a
private plane? If it's going to be a recruiting trip, he can use a private plane. If it's for other, quote-unquote, business, if there's one available, he can use it. But if not, he's guaranteed to fly first class. That's what the hang-up was. And he wants $50 million in facilities put in.
Arms race with facilities.
Okay, so here's the point. Now, if you're a football player, and now you're saying, well, I got a scholarship, I eat well, but there's a tiny piece of you that's got to be saying, let me get this straight. I got to pick up the paper. No, we can't pay because there's not enough money. And yet this guy, who's coaching a spit hole of a program, is getting $4 million plus a $50 million commitment plus the use of a – why doesn't he need a private plane? But it's just about, who's got the biggest stick in the room. The coaches all play relative to the other guy. Oh, yeah, he's got a private plane. I want a private plane. I mean, and don't
he's
tell me –
He's making $3 million?
I should make $3 million. That's the whole point
of
this thing.
No question.
And it's just – I'm thinking to myself – and they're saying, you know, well, we don't have money. We can't pay these people. Evidently, there's some money out there because they just – I mean, I'll be honest. Not that I would expect it, but there's only a very few handful of people at ESPN who get first-class flights. I mean, I remember when I went to the ESPYs and got in the back, and there's, God rest his soul, Stuart Scott sitting, you know, in a row of three on his cell phone. It's like, dude, that's how you – you know, that's what – there's a lot of money when we got to fly all these people around the country, and not everybody's flying first class or getting private planes.
Well, back before everybody had their own plane or they chartered in the NBA, when I was with the original Charlotte Hornets
– You flew commercial?
We flew commercial. And the Players Association agreement was that players go up front first. Then if there's seats, you got coach and trainer. In that order. And of course, the head coach gets first pick after the players. And then the top assistant, and then right pecking order.
Right.
So if you were going from Charlotte to L.A., okay, commercial, and it was a big plane and a lot of first-class seats, you could easily get snuffed out because the head coach gets it. And then you may not – no, we're back in the back with the trainer, you know, and having a good time. But that's the way it was.
And it's business. I mean, that's
right.
The way the world works. So
that's right.
Anyway.
Wait, we got to go back and beat on Emmert a little bit
more. Go ahead, go, please.
So much of this – you remember 20, 25 years ago when the big contracts – came out in Major League Sports. Guys making $100,000, $125,000. What it started there, okay? Now, sports writers who were making pennies, there was a feeling among sports writers of animosity to the players.
They resented it, and
the players treated some of them awfully.
Sure.
Okay? Awful, I guess awfully is not a word, but
no,
awful.
Awfully is a word.
So there was that riff, okay? There was that riff between sports writers and players, the big high-paid players, or purported high-paid players, the perception. And, you know, it never got any better. There was a riff there. And guys would write things about Bob Valvano, who was making $100,000, and he treated me bad. So I'm gonna put some hickeys on him here in the article. So you got the same situation now where you have the powers to be in college athletics, starting with Emmert, making this money, and there's parents out there and friends of friends, you know, family and fools and all of them, saying, well, man, the coach makes $9 million or $8 million, and the AD makes a million, whatever it is. And they go, we're going to get our share. So they are going to get their share, some form or fashion. But that's kind of how it's evolved. If you weren't,
Mark Emmert makes $2.4 million per year.
And he can't set up something.
Then that's what somebody said to me the other day. It's funny because it's the same church, different pew. Guys, so let me get this straight. These ADs at all these schools are making, you know, $1 million now, 800 million, a million and a half, and they got to go hire search firms to get their coach. Yeah. What the hell are we paying you for? I thought that was your job. Why don't they just hire the search firm to run the whole damn company? Well, I mean, that's your point. This guy makes $2.5 million, and he's like, well, I can't figure this out. I got to go get coverage.
And I can't go hire a consultant to help me figure it out. I got to go to Congress. I go like, and you got all these universities who are member universities to the NCAA, and they think they know everything, and they always want to pass legislation and blah blah blah. You don't have some people in that group that could help you do this? Come on.
But you know what the bottom line is? They don't want to, because if they make this decision and know it won't be perfect, they want CYA. They want to be able to say, well, I didn't do it. It was their doing. Yeah. It wasn't me. I tried to handle the problem.
You avoid being sued also.
Well, that's also
when the government takes over.
Yeah. I guess I hadn't thought of that part of it, but it is true.
They do not want to be sued.
Well, there's lawsuits. I mean, there's potential lawsuits against the NCAA for a million things, not the least of which, as you said, is the nonprofit thing, which is...
Ooh, that's hanging heavy, I think. I think it's hanging heavy.
Bizarre. Guy texted us, a couple of texts before you end the show. Question for Mike, did you ever play pickup games with Don May in the Dayton area? He played at Dayton when I was an undergrad at Louisville. Pound for pound and inch for inch, I thought Don May was one of the best players I ever saw back in those days.
Played against Donnie in high school, played on the playgrounds. Had dinner with him 2 years ago when I was in Dayton. He came out, we had dinner. Bucky Bockhorn, who was a famous player there, has done their radio for years.
Yep.
And he came to dinner. Coach Donaher, we had a really nice dinner after a round of golf. And, yeah, Donnie's – he
played for my beloved 69-70 Knicks before the Buffalo – what were they called back then? Braves.
Braves.
Took him in the expansion draft.
Took he and Haas both, Bill Hoska both.
Yep.
Now, that's something. Both those guys, two NBA players, played on Dayton Belmont High School, which was the other side of town from where I grew up. And on the east side, I grew up on the west side, and they both, Hoskett was an Olympic guy, both were first round picks of the Knicks, and both were picked up in the expansion draft by the Buffalo Braves, yeah. Little historic tidbit. You know how I don't like much about Dayton,
I'll answer this guy.
I forgot to hit the ding. Also, we might want to round out the show with we did play Chris Mack, and we do air in Lexington after all. Might want to play Coach Cal.
Well, I'm going to go over the top, but if you want to do it, let's play the presser for Coach Cal. 11 minutes met with the media peoples.
Before I do that, play this. Okay, cool. We're legal again. So, if you guys want to wrap up, you guys got any parting shots before we go out to Cal?
Nope, just we'll be back one more show before Christmas, so we'll see you next week for our pre-Christmas show, right?
Holy cow. Oh, yeah, hey, Yankee Christmas, we need to tell Mike.
Oh, if you want to come.
Well, I'll be in Vegas.
Oh, he won't be here.
Are we going to do the Friday before the UofL-UOK game, the Friday after Christmas?
What do you mean?
Aren't we doing the show?
Yeah, I'm sure we are.
Oh, okay, I thought you said our last.
Well, next Friday we're here. Yeah.
So I'm saying, we'll
call in for Vegas. So
you'll be, when are you in Vegas? For how long?
Tuesday to Saturday night.
Oh, I thought you were back already. All right. Well, then you'll have to check in. So, no, we won't be together again until after
Christmas. Okay.
Give the coffee song a chance. You'll like it.
You think?
Yeah. No, it's, no, it's got a swinging rhythm at the end. It's very cool.
Also, Old McDonald. That's a good one.
You got to listen to Frank's version of Old McDonald. Hilarious. I'm telling you, you got to listen to it.
Okay.
It's very good. All right.
I didn't realize what he was singing about until I got older.
Yeah, now, the other thing is, you got to bring your top 10, top 15, whatever you want
to
do.
Now I actually have to start preparing stuff.
I'm going to shoehorn myself in the show, too. I'm going to bring mine.
There you go. Bring yours, too. Absolutely.
Very quick. I know we're going way over, but I got to tell you this. I went to a Division III game when I was in New York. I just wanted to go to
This past week.
Yep.
This week.
I walked all the way up to 68th Street in 30-degree weather. It wasn't the smartest thing I've ever done. And watched Hunter play NYU. NYU used to be a Division
I. Oh, man. Yeah. Barry Kramer.
But it's so funny because there's a kid at Hunter that I'm laughing because if he knew, here we are in Louisville. He had 29 points. George, Nick always remembers his last name. What's his last name, George? What?
George Keener.
George Keener. He's from Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn, and the dude can play. He's scoring left-handed, right-handed, 29 points. And I'm thinking to myself, we're adopting him. And his team's terrible, by the way. They'll be lucky to win five games, poor kid. He has no support.
What a season that is.
They're 1-9 right now. They're competitive. When I hate one of those terrible deals. They lost by like four to NYU. But the dude can play. And I said, maybe you catch a guy on one night, maybe it's just struck lightning in a bottle. I looked, he's gone for the last 2 weeks. His games have been 25, 26, 24. So the guy can play. So we're adopting him. We're going to have the George Keener update. My goal was at the end of the year to have him on the show, which I think would be hilarious.
That would be good.
That would be entertaining. Good.
Fort Hamilton?
Fort Hamilton. That's where the Kings were from.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Who was from Fort Hamilton? Bernard and Albert. Yeah.
He's got three siblings. Savannah, yep. George, and Margarita. And I read that as Savannah, Georgia at first. But Savannah, George.
How could he have a sibling? He's George.
Maybe there's two George, man. I don't know. I'm just
like George.
Maybe his father's George Foreman. Remember George had all his kids, George?
I'm just telling you. Yeah.
We got his bio down. It's just, if this kid only knew that nobody pays that. I'm just telling the truth. Nobody pays any attention to the CUNY schools in New York, let alone in Louisville. But I'm telling you, it was fun for me. You never really were exposed. I'm not saying that like a big timer, but you were a big time high school player, and then you went to Kentucky, and then you played in the pros. I coached some of my years at Division III and Division II, and there's some really good coaches there. And the kids, I think people sometimes think like Division III, you roll the balls out Tuesday, you practice like a CYO league. These kids work their ass off, a lot of them do. And it was really fun to be back in that environment and watch these guys coach because it's 250 people maybe in the arena in the gym, and you hear the conversation and you watch what they're trying to do. And
some of them don't even have cheerleaders.
No, there were no cheerleaders.
No
cheerleaders. But
there were some good-looking girls and a handsome guy, though.
There were, though. They sat right in front of me, these four girls and this handsome guy and another handsome guy, two handsome guys. I don't know why they chose to sit there, but it was funny because these are the kinds of things you don't really hear at the big time very much. They were actually from NYU. You can go to the game. You just jump on a subway. So they came uptown, went to the game, and the one guy made a good play for NYU, and he stands in front of me. He goes, "Woo, that's my friend's roommate."
When do you see that at Louisville or Kentucky or North Carolina?
I thought that was pretty cool. All right, here is so we'll talk to you next week. And those of you listening, we'll see you next week on Fast Break Friday. We've got another hour to go here in Louisville. Here's Coach Cal.
Expecting to rebound and can't get a rebound, well, you're going to play less minutes. But Johnny's working hard. He's, all these kids playing together, trying to figure each other out, trying to figure themselves out. Makes it even more difficult. But we need him. We need Khalil to play better. I mean, we do. We got guys that for us to be one of those teams, which we are not right now, for us to be one of those teams, he's got to play well. Johnny's got to make a couple shots.
What is he? What is Khalil? In your mind's eye, the good version?
How he played at Michigan State, where he was like a defensive, he was all over the place. He was active. Go get rebounds. You can't, again, I keep trying to tell all these kids, if your offense is what gets you going, that's going to be like this because everybody's offense in the country, you can't have emotional ups and downs based on offense. It should be based on defense, but we're still learning.
John, with all this practice time, what do you feel like you've gotten accomplished and what areas are you working on?
Still, the two, fight, and then we've really worked and spent some time on finishing games. You know, this team we're playing tomorrow, Georgia Tech. I mean, Josh has done a great job. They're playing zone. They're playing a really high wing zone. They'll trap corners. They'll go and flip into a 1-3-1. If you drive, they collapse. My guess is they'll make us shoot threes. I come back to, I think we're a really good three-point shooting team that hadn't made shots right now. I was up at Notre Dame, and I went and saw Mike Bray after the game, and I go, you made 23s. What? How? My team in four games can't make 23s. Five games. And he said, we were shooting 28%, and we're making them in practice. We just couldn't seem to make them in games. Well, that's us. I said, well, what'd you say? Didn't say anything. I guess I won't say anything. I don't know. I mean, it's...
How well you guys are shooting free throws exceptionally well. How much of an emphasis do you put on getting to the line?
Well, I just tell them. I mean, some of you guys are shooting 90%. Why wouldn't you get fouled? Why would you ever fade away on a shot? Why don't you play through people and get fouled? I mean, you know, we had a guy come in yesterday and asked a question. Why isn't Nick rebounding more? Like, why isn't he rebounding more? Now, you may say, well, he's getting 10 or 11, and I'm telling you, why not get 15? Why not go after every ball with two hands? Why not create space? You know, getting Ashton, the way you shoot free throws, keep getting fouled. Ball fake. Don't just throw your body into a guy to get fouled. They may not give that to you. Ball fake. Make it obvious. But Emmanuel Quickley's making them. I mean, Tyrese the same. We've worked on Tyrese the last 3 days on you can't run away from the contact. You clip the guy. When you drive, you create it. You don't run from him. And so, but it's hard for these guys because they played a certain way.
Are you shooting more free throws than some of your previous teams?
I don't know that. I don't know. I just know we're making more. And I'm not doing anything different than I've done in the past. Probably recruited better free throw shooters, I guess.
How about your Dante coming along? Is he well enough to play a little bit?
Practice? No. No, he's a ways away. He had an ACL. I mean, he'll practice, and in 2 days he can't practice, you know, after trying. And he's probably, when he practices, about 75%. So, but I'm glad he's on the floor some.
What can you pick up just by being on the floor and being around?
He's got a really – here's the thing. And there were times yesterday we were running something. He didn't know it. Well, stop. You're on the side. What are you doing?
You've got to be paying attention.
You're not doing anything else. What are you, looking at the lights? Come on. I mean, you should know all this stuff because you're sitting there watching it. And but he's a great kid. I mean, Ben's been out. He's been hurt, so we've had to practice without Ben. And, you know.
What's his injury?
I have to ask the trainer. Yes, he had a head injury, something.
Speaking of shooting, you're playing a guy that the last time he was in referee.
35.
Yeah.
35. Yeah, he hadn't slept in 2 days waiting on this game. And their team will shoot threes, but they also run great offense. They put themselves in the best position. Whether it was Georgia or Arkansas, could have easily won both games. I mean, you know, beat NC State pretty good. So, you know, they've played a terrific schedule now. So they're not coming in like, okay, that we're playing Kentucky. And they've played a schedule already. They played a Syracuse. So they've played teams.
Are you always a little fearful of a team that really got smacked the last time they were out, that they're going to want to come out and show, hey, we're a lot better than what?
I'll be honest. I'm worried about my team. Do people watch us and say, wow, they're finally getting out and running? Wow, they are fighting for balls. You see that we put an emphasis on creating shots for each other. We've been at 20 assists the last three or four games. Do they continue to create shots for each other? Are individual players beginning to play better? Are they breaking through individually? Because the only way we get to where we're trying to go is if individual players keep getting better. EJ's scoring the ball good now. Let's go rebound and play better defense. You know, keep scoring, but let's do that too. And again, we're we're never going to be satisfied. It's okay. What's the next step up for these kids? But it's we got a tough road here. I mean, this is a hard game. Anxious to see where we are at this point. It's December, early December, so it's we're still trying to figure ourselves out, and you need games like this to do it.
I noticed in this last game that you guys had Ashton kind of in that free throw line area in the middle, maybe when they were zoning. What have you seen from that? What does he give you kind of working?
Well, they will match down a little bit. So wherever we put them, they'll probably end up playing a man-to-man. But, you know, we need more than one guy penetrating. We got a lot of guys just touch and go. I mean, you've got to see that there's gaps, and you've got to take it in. Now, they're going to collapse, which means you'd be strong with the ball and create shots for your teammate. Can't be just one guy. And we got other guys that are capable of doing it. We've been emphasizing, you know, you got to be able to go at zones. You don't just play along the perimeter. You either throw it in there, post or high, or you drive it in there. Either one's good. But you can't just throw it around the perimeter.
Calvin, do you ever think you'd be able to talk to Nick Richards about being arrogant? He spent 2 years
you're humble and hungry. You know, that's what we always talk about. You're humble and hungry, because this thing, if any of you are golfers, you know it can flip in 2 seconds. I'm the best putter in the world, and then you can't make a putt because you said it. Or I've been driving the ball great. Good. Now you've rolled 4 off the tee, and you hooked 1 into the trees. How about that for your driver? So you just stay hungry. You keep training. You want to fall back on your training. Well, when I walk in here, if his training is lazy catches, one-handed rebounds, I'm not fighting for position, the shot goes up, I run from my man. Well, that's what you're going to do in the games. And the minute you go down that road, it's not what I say, it's what you're saying to yourself. You take away your own confidence. And when you build your confidence through the process, through training, no one takes it away. No one. I can't take it away, an official, another teammate. But if you take your own confidence away by how you're training and you walk in a game and you start playing that way, you did it to yourself. But we got great kids, and all the people watching, you know, we're holding them accountable. It's what we're trying to do. And just saying that here's how we're playing. Probably been tougher in practice than I had all year for 3 days. A couple days I was really tough. And tough meaning, you know, it's a high standard what we're expecting. I don't know. I think so. They're supposed to come to the game. I hope I get a chance to meet them. You know, I said I've met a few presidents and looking forward to meeting the Queen.
But I heard you say on your radio show that the guys shoot threes better in transition. Is that the defense isn't set?
Maybe, and I also think it's because they're better passes. We're throwing off. We're getting guys that have threes, passes all over the place versus in their wheelhouse where you catch it and let it go. And also those guys are probably more ready in transition because they can see everything in front of them, and the ball comes to them. The other way, you're looking maybe away from the basket, and it's taking more time. But you know, this should be a team that can make 7-8 threes. Sometimes more, sometimes a couple less. But it shouldn't be a team that's making 1 or 2. And we're not relying. The good news is we do not rely on threes where other teams are shooting 30 threes. If they shoot 30 and they make 3, they're losing. We're not relying. If we have a big day shooting threes, we're going to normally win that game by a margin. But it's not what we rely on. So, thanks.
That was Coach Cal's press conference brought to you by our friends at UPS Jobs. Graduate debt-free. I did, almost. I failed a couple of classes when I wasn't at UPS and I had to pay for them. But that's neither here nor there. If you have your ducks in a row, you can definitely graduate debt-free with your friends at UPS. Learn more about the UPS Loop program and Metro College at upsjobs.com. That is a great program. I cannot emphasize that enough. It is absolutely fabulous. Bobby V will join on the other side. He's I'm doing that thing when telemarketers would call looking for your dad,
And you would just say he couldn't come to the phone because you didn't want to tell them any information that could get you kidnapped or anything that was, like, personal. Nah, I just would be like, nah, he's taking a deuce. So Pops is taking a pee-pee right now, and he'll join you on the other side. Thanks for listening. You're listening to The V Show on ESPN 680 105.7.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.